Welcome to 2 out of 3 Recommend. I'm Lee.
And I'm Brett.
We're two brothers out of three getting together to chat
and recommend drinks, movies, shows, and things to keep you busy.
Welcome to another episode of 2 out of 3 Recommend. We are 2 out of 3 brothers recommending stuff for life. Hello, Brett.
Hello, Lee.
I should have actually done this before we started because these
lids are terrible. This is the drink.
So, this is the drink of the week. I'm going to get straight into it because I thought it would take longer to open it.
There we go.
Ooh, it is the CBC, which I think has a name we're not allowed to say anymore, brewing company. We've tried their apple cider, but this is Bertie.
One of the ingredients in this is actually apple cider, so that helps.
Oh, so it's apple and blood orange.
Apple cider, sugar, water, natural flavors, three different colors, preservatives, and contains sulfites.
So it doesn't actually contain any blood orange.
Maybe. Yeah, so it's cider with blood orange flavor. Sweet and juicy.
Yep, okay. Let's see how we go.
All right.
Thought something different. There was a different flavour of lemon squash this week, but Jesus, I'd have had enough.
Cheers.
Oh, that's all right. It's 1.2 standards.
Ooh.
It's Australian made.
It's a weird aftertaste, actually.
I prefer it to that, the blood orange Schweppes.
Don't know about this one.
I still prefer apple cider, though.
Yeah, no, it's a no from me.
Oh, okay.
Because it literally just tastes like they poured a little bit of Fanta into an apple cider.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. So it's one yes,
there you go.
One yes, one no, and I get to have these two.
There you go.
Have you got a snack to go with it that might help?
I've got a dessert snack.
Twinkie?
Yeah, I've got a Twinkie.
This is a dessert wine.
It's a dessert cider and a dessert snack.
Yeah.
You know how raspberry twisties were terrible?
Yeah, they were.
Get ready to meet Donut King cinnamon donut twisties.
Jeez, we don't need every collab.
Limited edition, which is probably a good thing.
Although, I'm going to be honest, I've seen them around for a while, so I don't think they're that limited.
So, yeah.
Well, they just haven't been selling. Let's just taste it.
I have no comments.
Cinnamon donut flavoured twisties.
Let me just do one thing first. It smells like cinnamon donuts. It smells like Donut King.
It does.
Well, here, well, you've got the
background. They look terrible. They don't look good. They look like twisties they forgot to put flavour on.
The packet's nice. But let's see. Oh, yeah, they do look weird. What is going on with the world?
I don't know. It's very dry.
It's very dry and it's not donut-y enough. Like it's
definitely got cinnamon, but that's it. Like it doesn't have anything to make you feel like a donut flavor.
And it's not got enough.
Oh, that second one had more cinnamon.
Maybe we're going to have to eat the whole packet. I'm not going to buy them again.
No from me.
If we didn't have a new snack on the podcast every week, I wouldn't have bought them in the first place. So
that's true.
You know what?
I wouldn't have bought the raspberry ones either.
Just stick to your chicken twisties.
Cheese and chicken.
Maybe cheese. And maybe those zigzag ones.
I haven't even tried the zigzag ones, but aren't they the same flavour, just a different shape?
No, I think they're slightly different flavour.
Oh, okay.
No, I need to wash it down.
Can I tell you something I've watched this week?
Oh.
A new movie.
Uh-huh.
Dune,
Part 2. Oh, Dune.
Dune, Part 2.
I've heard very good things about Dune, Part 2.
It's very good, Dune, Part 2.
Mm.
So we watched together Dune, Part 1.
We did.
And then reviewed it on the podcast of Two Drink Cinema. This is... People are saying it's better.
Yep.
I don't think it's better...
Okay.
I just think if you try to watch Dune without thinking this is act one of a trilogy.
Yep.
One is going to leave you a little bit flat.
Okay.
This one definitely gets more into the depth of the world, but also the depth of the story and like the politics and religion that is going on both in the Imperium and the planet of Arrakis.
So does it explain who the people are, unlike the first one where I watched it going, am I meant to know who that is?
You do get more of an idea of who people are and how they relate.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Atreides is a bigger character in this movie. Like, this is really Timothée Chalamet's movie.
Yep.
And Zendaya is in it and good too.
Yep.
I like Zendaya. Her acting isn't as good as Timothée Chalamet's in this, nor is it as good as Rebecca Ferguson's in this. This movie is really Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson at the top, and then a few others, including like Javier Bardem has quite a big part in it as well.
Yep.
And then Josh Brolin comes in a little bit later, which Florence is not Pugh. A spoiler. You see him in the trailer. Christopher Walken and Florence Pugh. It is a fucking cast and a half.
It's ridiculous.
Austin Butler. Doing a very good Stellan Skarsgård impersonation so that he doesn't sound like Elvis.
Anya Taylor-Joy makes an appearance, apparently.
Not in this one, I don't think.
Oh, they said she's in it. I saw it was like, oh, surprise, Anya Taylor-Joy's in June.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think she is.
I can't believe Christopher Walken's in it.
He plays the Emperor.
Does he?
He's the right age for the Emperor. He doesn't quite have imperial gravitas to him when he's trying to tell off Paul Atreides, who by the point that they meet, he's like, well, fuck the Imperium. I'm going to fucking win everything.
Right.
Kind of attitude. And so, I don't think Christopher Walken has quite the gravitas to be like that. But I think part of it is that a lot of the power of the Imperium is under false pretenses.
Right.
It's a lot of behind the scenes backroom dealings and stuff rather than actually legitimate power.
All right.
Florence Pugh's good. Zendaya is good, but Timothée Chalamet is really this movie.
Right.
It's good. Go and see it.
I will go see it.
Sorry, I shouldn't say that. I recommend it.
You recommend it.
Don't go see it. I recommend seeing it.
I might see it tomorrow if I'm not too hungover.
If you have the opportunity to see it at IMAX, see it at IMAX.
Did you see it at IMAX?
We saw it at Reddings,
which
is great. We saw it at one of the big screens at Reddings, and it was about half the price of what we would have paid if we'd gone to IMAX.
Yeah.
But I think the scope of this film, the epicness of this film, you need to see in IMAX.
Yeah. Oscar-wise, do you reckon it'll just clean sweep the kind of look and sound categories? I know we're three months into the year.
True.
But
all I've seen this year is Dune and Bottoms, so I couldn't tell you where it might sit in the scope of this year's
It'll get a heap of nominations.
It will. I do feel like I doubt it will, but Chalamet's performance is very good.
Okay.
And I even think Rebecca Ferguson's performance in the first movie, she was a bit nothing, but in this movie, she is a very key figure in the plot,
mm-hmm.
but also really acts well.
All right.
Better than Zendaya, I'd say.
People are like, oh, this is just like The Two Towers.
There are things saying this is this generation's Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And I can definitely see that being the case, although this doesn't go for 3.5 hours.
Good.
Goes for 2:45.
Oh, fuck.
Which is long.
Mm.
I didn't know there was going to be a third one.
There's going to be a third one?
Stupid on my part. Yeah, I'm telling people there's going to be a third one because I kept going through the movie and I'm like, I can't wrap it up now.
Yeah.
It's got to be like at least another 45 minutes, but we've already been in here for 2.5.
Maybe it's they were going to Game of Thrones it and just rush the end and not really care how it ended.
Yeah. Well, the final battle I felt was a little bit quicker than it should have been.
Right.
But then because that's not the final battle of the trilogy, you're kind of like, that's okay.
Right.
We need to get to the point where this happens so that we can have movie 3.
Okay.
So go in expecting a trilogy. It's long. Don't go in expecting a full resolution of the whole story.
Mm.
But it has... They have done well to start and end a story within this movie, but also within the trilogy.
Okay.
Okay?
Cool.
I do recommend Dune Part 2.
You know what movie, and I use the term loosely, came out on streaming, and I was like, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
But then I clicked it, and it was like, it goes for 3.5 hours.
Ooh.
It's the movie of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to watch it. So then I have, like, I can say, I watched it. I still don't like it.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm going to watch it. I am going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I flicked it on, and I'm like, I'm not going to watch it now. Because I was like, I can't. It was a Friday night, and by that stage, it was already like 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, I'm not doing this till 11:30. I can't.
I'd rather watch Collingwood lose the football.
I'd rather watch Will and Grace again.
Which I did as well. predictable. But what I did also watch,
yes,
was a new series on Netflix.
Okay.
Called The Gentleman.
I've watched half of the movie.
It's a movie?
Well, I assume The Gentleman is based on the movie. The Guy Ritchie movie is a British gangstery things.
Well, it's British. It's created by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. So the 2019 film,
oh,
The Gentleman, with mm-hmm. Guy Ritchie, Hugh Grant, Colin Farrell, Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, Theo James.
Theo James is in this.
Yeah. Henry Golding's in the movie.
Oh.
So, yeah, The Gentleman, an American expat, tries to sell off his highly profitable marijuana empire in London, triggering plots, schemes, bribery, and blackmail.
Is this a sequel?
I don't know, because I've seen half of the movie.
Because Theo James is in it.
Yep.
And at the start of the... He's like a royally kind of...
fancy Duke, person.
Right?
Okay.
His dad does. But he's the second-born son. But then the first-born son's an
idiot. Oh, is he the spare?
Yeah, so he's the Harry, but then Harry becomes the Duke, which actually haven't, but anyway. And then he has this random British woman, and for years they've been growing marijuana under this castle.
Okay. Theo James is not high in the cast of the movie.
No.
Looking at it here.
But who does he play? Is he in the movie?
Well,
where is he?
No, he's not in the movie. Google did that thing.
Oh, where it okay.
Crosses over.
Yeah, right.
So I think it's either the same kind of premise or the same universe. One of those ones.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
I think it's a different story.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Although it sounds pretty similar. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people are doing now, is they're taking the premise of a movie and putting it into a TV series so they can make 20 hours of it.
Yep.
Rather than just 2 hours and make hopefully more money. Because cinema is dying.
What if it's a prequel?
Cinema is dying and movies are dying.
Well, apparently, according to a survey, only 33% of US adults prefer to watch movies in the theatre.
Yeah, it's dying.
Why? Because you have to pay $20 to go.
Yeah.
And you're sitting next to some old woman who keeps talking through. I'm not talking about mum.
Can I talk about talking through? Are you done with The Gentleman?
Yeah, it's all right. I only watched one episode, but it's pretty good. The end of the first episode's like, whoa.
Does Theo James
gonna have to keep watching?
Get nude?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he will.
He's hoping.
Because he's nude a lot.
He's been nude in one thing, hasn't he?
No, he was also got it out in the time-traveling thing. The Time Traveller's Wife.
Oh.
He was in that show.
Isn't that?
He got his willy out.
Is that a show? That's a movie.
Not The Lake House that we talked about.
No, there was a movie with Eric Bana, I believe, and Rachel McAdams, maybe?
The Time Traveller's Wife is a 2009 film with Eric Bana and Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
It is also a book, which you don't care about, and then was a series with Theo James, Rose Leslie. in it.
Oh, Rose Leslie.
Mm.
Mm.
And other people.
Okay.
Brian Ultimus, who plays young Henry.
Okay.
Okay?
Cool.
Anyway, he gets his willy out in that too. Same thing. They're both based on the novel.
Yeah.
But they're their own
interpretations thing. Of it.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Speaking of based on novels and interpreted differently, I went to see something in the theatre.
Yeah.
I went to see Wicked.
Oh.
Yes.
The Wickedly Talented.
Which was absolutely fantastic.
Okay, great. I'm going to go see it.
Well, you said to me after you saw Rent, if you need someone to go and see Rent with, I'll go and see it again. Okay. If you need someone to go and see Wicked with, I will go and see Wicked again.
Right.
The Regent. I have a question. The big question I think this week is going to come from Wicked, but we'll get to that at the end. I have seen Wicked before this once.
Same.
When our old high school did it.
Same.
So I had a pretty high bar set.
Okay.
Not taking the piss. Our school does good musicals.
And the leads that year were particularly good.
Very good.
Yeah.
One of them almost won The Voice.
One of them almost won Eurovision. Continue. Yep.
So.
Yes, we went to school with Dami Im. Junior Eurovision. Continue.
Junior Eurovision. So, it's not a Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth, and it hasn't been for a long time, and it certainly would never have been in Melbourne.
No.
So, Courtney Monsma plays Glinda, and Sheridan Adams plays Elphaba.
Okay.
And they are both outstanding. Sheridan Adams, like, I've said to Shane after we went, I said, if you are a theatre mezzo, it is the role. It is the role. It is like if you are a classical theatre woman, it's Lady Macbeth.
Yeah.
If you are a musical theatre mezzo, it is Elphaba.
And it used to be like West Side Story before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that used to be, everybody wants to play that.
Everyone wants to play Maria. Everyone just wants to play Elphaba. And Sheridan Adams absolutely knocks it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't get a standing ovation.
Oh.
The Flying Monkeys did.
Oh, of course.
And so then we were already standing.
I have to talk about standing ovations,
We were already standing when Glinda and Elphaba came up.
Oh, so guys, now we're bringing out the leads. Everybody, please sit down. Please sit down.
Well, the whole cast was great.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But this is my thing. I think if you wait and then you stand up when the whole cast was great, the monkeys were great, the chorus were great, right? Bok.
Yep.
Wizard.
Guy.
Madame Morrible.
Figaro.
Everyone.
Fiero,
great. But it's Glinda and Elphaba's show.
Michelle Yeoh good in it?
Yeah. It's Glinda and Elphaba's show.
Of course.
Save your standing.
Although, if you're applauding everyone, you stand from the start of the bows. You know what I mean?
No, applaud everyone. Woo the next lot of people. Stand for the leads.
Oh, okay. So there's a hierarchy of ovations.
You know what? If swing number 5 wants a standing ovation,
be better.
Be Elphaba.
Sorry, flying monkey number 3. Be Elphaba.
Yeah. Be better, and then you'll be the wizard and not a monkey.
The wizard.
Robin Nevin, who I really like, was Madame Morrible.
Mm.
Can't sing, but acted very well. And Rex Harrisoned her songs.
Yeah, I think that's generally what people do. I'm expecting that's what Michelle Yeoh is going to do in the movie.
Yeah. Simon Burke, who you will have seen Simon in stuff, plays...
Why does
plays
he sound like someone from Better Homes
The Wizard in Melbourne. He was very good. He was better than I thought. Unfortunately, if you're in Brisbane, it's Todd McKenney.
That's enough reason to move.
Yeah. Fiera was very good. All of the cast was very good.
Yeah.
And it's just a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just really good. I'm going to say that a lot. They're really good.
Okay,
but
great.
The show itself, I do want to go and see the show again because the actual show, the writing of it, the songs in it, and the production of this, like we saw Rent and it was very minimal, and I saw before that Candide by the Victorian Opera, and it was very good, but very minimal.
Yep.
This can't be.
No.
You can't do Oz.
You can't do minimally
with a bit
fly.
Of scaffolding and then like hang some shit off the scaffolding when they're in Oz, hang some yep. other shit when they're in the Emerald City, whatever. This set was incredible, and you have to do it at something big like the Regent in order to be able to do it. The flying was great. The story, I'd forgotten that it has the little bit of crossover with Dorothy.
At the end.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that. And the way they build up to it and the way they write it in and the way they do it is really good.
Yeah, I remember watching it going, oh, I don't really like that. It's kind of cheesy, I thought. But I'll watch it again.
There are cheesy bits, but if the cast nailed the script well, it's actually a very funny show.
Yep.
So then that cheesiness of her accidentally turning Bok the Munchkin into the Tin Man...
Yeah.
...becomes funny within the context of this funny
Spoiler
show.
Alert.
That's also very serious about friendship and nature versus
racism.
Nurture and wickedness and racism. And one thing I really... Oh, I don't know if I want to say it. Well, no. Actually, it's not a spoiler. The Wicked Witch dies. It's not a spoiler.
In The Wizard of Oz.
It's a 100-and-something-year-old novel, and it's an almost 100-year movie.
Yeah,
the Wicked
yeah.
Witch dies,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
She dies in Wicked.
Water, yeah. They
and
comment on... They
the
allude
thing,
to that, don't they?
Yeah. Well, she dies in Wicked. That's
what?
The crossover. Dorothy throwing the water on her is the end of this musical as well as the end of The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
So it's a prequel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a prequel, but it's also telling a story from a different perspective.
Yes, okay.
Which is what I really like about it. Mm. And one thing that when they do that well, tell different story, still the same story from a different perspective, often the characters know too much about the original story.
Yeah.
Like in this movie, Elphaba early on doesn't know the name of this foreign girl.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Dorothy.
Like, yeah.
There's no reason for Elphaba to know her name is Dorothy. She doesn't refer to her as Dorothy. Whereas a lot of the time when they tell the same story from a different perspective, those different characters know too much about the original characters.
Yeah, okay.
So they didn't do that. But one thing they did... the whole theme of the story, one of the big ones, is someone born wicked or they become wicked
yeah.
or are they just perceived as wicked?
But what is, yeah, so what is wicked? Is she bad because she's green or is Glinda really the bitch?
Yeah, or because she was treated badly,
yes.
she reacted badly, or has she just been presented as bad? Because Madame Morrible becomes like the press secretary for the wizard.
Yes, okay.
And so he's just telling everyone that she's bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it just... I don't want to say too much in case people haven't seen the show and go to see it, but the finale really nails that theme, which I wasn't aware of from previous watching. And
did you cry? Yes.
Yeah. I cried. I do this as well, right? I cry when someone sings really well. So I cried during Defying Gravity.
Okay.
Just because she nailed it and the chorus nailed it in a couple of points.
It
and
is,
I'm like, this is fucking great.
It is like the ultimate end of Act One song.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then because it's one of those songs like you end the first act, you go, oh, I can go home now. That was fucking amazing.
Yep.
And you go, oh, wait, there's more. And then she sings a better song.
Yeah, they both sing better songs.
Yeah.
In the second, well, equally as good songs in the second half as the first half.
That's good. I will go see it.
Good.
I'm catching up with, I've seen some friends today who want to see it as well. So I'm sure we'll make plans.
Let me know. And if
hopefully
I can
stick
come,
to them.
I'll come.
I have a recommendation and it's kind of going off standing ovations. I have a recommendation for the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Not everyone needs a standing ovation.
Yeah, so my first recommendation is please don't bring back Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The worst part, it was a fairly boring ceremony, which is why we didn't do a Two Drink Cinema review
of
the Oscars.
You know who had the best two moments of the ceremony?
Ryan Gosling.
One, the bit with Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Actually, then two... The next best bit was Arnie and Danny DeVito.
Yes.
With, and then it's Batman. Because I was Keaton, like, yep. I was like, oh, and Batman's here. And then they managed to check like, it.
Oh, Batman's here. Yeah.
And the way they all did it was pretty good. Danny DeVito was actually, was very funny.
Clooney wasn't there.
Well, Clooney wasn't there.
That was Arnie's Batman.
Yeah. You son of a bitch.
Give me your American Express card.
Yeah. And then I'm Just Ken. Ridiculous. Absolutely. Like, absolutely and ridiculous.
Like, the band. It was like Mark Ronson played bass.
Yeah, and Slash.
Slash and Van Halen.
Oh, was Van Halen there?
Yeah, yeah.
I missed Van Halen.
They were the two guitars, and then Mark Ronson played bass with him.
Because I was just like, well, because Mark Ronson wrote it as well. Because I remember, I was watching it, and I was like, is that Slash? I didn't see Van Halen. Maybe I was too distracted by Slash.
Slash.
Jimmy Kimmel's jokes were not funny. I feel bad. Okay. Robert Downey Jr. is a wanker. I feel bad for him. Like, what was the joke at the... He made this at the monologue about drugs and being high. I'm like... And he's saying, wrap it up, mate. This isn't funny.
This is the thing, right? Stand-up comedians, right? They should know this and crowd work.
Yeah.
If a joke fails, move on.
Mm.
If you're looking at Robert Downey Jr. and you make a joke about his drugs and he doesn't react.
Yeah.
Move on.
Move on. Don't keep going to the point where he has to be like, wrap it up.
But also, he doesn't have a microphone. So do not ask him a question.
Yeah.
Because how is he going to answer?
I also hate, I think every year that Jimmy Kimmel's hosted, he always makes the same joke about how it goes on for a long time. Right. Yeah. The Oscars go for a long time. There's like 30 fucking awards and they're adding more.
We know
that. So it's going to go longer.
Yes.
Especially when, you know, you give best short film 5 minutes to make a speech before you wrap them up. Like.
Yeah.
I know everybody should have given their time, but like it's best short film.
Yep.
It's not Emma Stone. Wrap it up.
Jimmy Kimmel, not great. But this is the thing about the Robert Downey Jr. thing, right? He tapped his nose like this, right? That's him saying it's on the nose. This means drugs.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing with his nose.
Yeah, yeah.
He's used it a lot in the past.
Yeah.
See, that's a funny drug joke.
Yeah.
Jesus, Jimmy. But then, so with the standing ovation. Like,
this is the high point of his career, not the highest he's been in his career, is a better writing of the joke that he originally told.
Yeah.
Then move on. We all know he's done drugs. He's acknowledged himself he's done drugs.
Yeah.
In his acceptance speech.
Yes.
He acknowledged that his wife saved him from drugs.
Yeah.
But we're not making jokes ad nauseum about it.
Yeah, I feel like it's been about, it's been 15 years since he made the first Iron Man.
Oh, just went 20.
So it's like he's back. It's not his comeback movie.
Yep.
Like move on.
Yeah, no, he is back and he's not on drugs and he said the drug thing's done, whatever, we're moving on.
The standing ovations.
And Academy, move on from Jimmy.
Jimmy Kimmel, at the start, does not deserve a standing ovation.
No.
You also then don't need to give a standing ovation to everybody that wins an award. But some people you should give standing ovations for, like when they come out, present an award, maybe give a standing ovation to Steven Spielberg. I don't know.
Yeah, like that's true. He's one of the best directors of all time.
Then you can give. Then if Christopher Nolan wins Best Director, you can give him a standing ovation.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know.
But also like giving a standing ovation to some of the minor awards. I don't want to devalue any of the awards, but like when the five previous Best Actor Oscar winners come out, that you can give a standing ovation for.
Yeah,
but like those are the things you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steven Spielberg was a missed one.
Yeah, I would have given a standing ovation to Tim Robbins when he then realised he had to speak. I do like that concept. Although I didn't like that the majority of the winners were quite recent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then when Al Pacino came out as an old man, you kind of go, maybe we shouldn't get old people.
Yeah.
As our friend Katie said on our post, was like, that was the low light. Why do they always bring the oldest people around out to present the most important awards?
And that's, yeah. Although, and then Jimmy's joke about after Emma Stone won, it's like, rip up that thing. We don't need to get confused. Piss off. Then, anyway.
Just the way Al Pacino went, Oppenheimer. And then Then the orchestra, did he say
Oppenheimer? Is that it? And then you heard like one woman go, whoo! Wait, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And then the conductor must have been like, play, way one.
They should have really done a let's recap. And the winner is Oppenheimer. That's what, because that's what it didn't, they didn't do.
I'm okay coming back from the break with one of each, especially if you've got 10.
Yeah.
But they had those five things of the actors each time.
Yeah.
Have those things back down with these are the 10 and just list the names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bad way to end a ceremony. It's almost as bad as when they put Best Actor last because they thought Chadwick Boseman was going to win and then he didn't.
Oh, and then he
didn't. And everybody was like, oh, this is awkward.
Yeah. Just keep the order. You don't need to move things based on things that have happened.
No.
I think we should also give a standing ovation to the In Memoriam. When that's done, not to certain people, just when that's done and it just says In Memoriam, we stand up and clap as we go to the break.
The In Memoriam was interesting this year because they did, you know, they did clips of everyone and then some people
just got a picture.
Get a bigger clip. You know what I mean? Like
that happens.
I can't remember who, it was, you know. Some people Ryan O'Neill gets a clip. You know, it's whatever. But then at the end, it was like, names on a screen, bye. And one of them was Barry Humphries.
Oh, yeah, it was too.
Yeah. It was the first name I saw. I'm like, Barry Humphries.
And Andre Albicelli singing with his son.
Oh, was his son, was it?
Yeah, it was his son.
Yeah.
That was nice. Good. Yeah.
So
your recommendation is stand for people that need standing. Don't stand for people that don't. That's the same as my recommendation. Stand for Elphaba. Don't stand for ensemble.
If you stand for everyone, it cheapens the O, right?
Yeah. That's what as we stood up for the second row of the ensemble at Wicked last night, I said to Shane, this is going to look really bad because we don't stand up for Elphaba.
Yeah. And then, well, it's like if you call everyone the goat.
Yeah. I don't think about, we're not, that's not the big question. We're not getting into goat.
You can't have multiple goats. Greatest of all time.
Well, is our big question then, how picky should you be with standing ovations?
Look, you can stand for whoever you want, but don't stand for everyone.
Okay. So if I thought the Monkees were really good, should I have stood for the Monkees and then sat down and then stood up again?
You go, oh, you were great. And then you go, oh, and then you get your hands.
Well, no. Yeah, this is it. Clapping.
Yeah.
Clapping.
Woo! Stand. And a woo?
And a woo, yeah. I did give Elphaba a woo.
That's great.
The bows were very short.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
The bows were very short at Wicked last night. They did it well. They were just out, thanks, hug, bow, off.
Well, that was like with Rent.
Yeah.
And they were just like, group bow. Yeah. Group bow, go run. Oh, let's come back for one more. Group bow, gone.
That's a reasonably equal cast, though.
Musicals don't do a closing number anymore. You know, sometimes then they come out and you sing the song.
Yeah.
Don't really do that anymore.
Should we bring that back?
Look, it depends how long your musical is. If it's the Eras tour, you don't need any more time.
Wicked went for 3 hours, including interval.
Yeah.
The movie's going to be a two-parter.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Unnecessary. That's just to make more money.
But how are they going to... So they're going to lengthen it? Are they adding more songs?
Don't know.
Because it was 3 hours, including interval.
So if it's 2 hours, 45.
Yeah.
2:40.
You don't need to split that into two movies.
No, they just do it to make more money.
You're going to have to make two... You're going to have to add an hour and 20 minutes of something to make two 2-hour movies.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Maybe they are adding things. Ariana Grande is going to have more songs.
I think she's going to be great. I think both of them are going to be great.
I think everyone's going to be great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Except Jeff Goldblum.
Is he in it? Am I going to hate him again?
He's the wizard.
Oh. He can't sing. Maybe he can.
Wizard sing?
Yeah. He has 2 songs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They call me wonderful and I'm a sentimental man.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst song. His songs are the worst ones, though. Anyway.
They are. Anyway, that's it for this week. Yep. June. Wicked.
Gentlemen.
The Oscars.
Standing ovations.
Gentlemen. How picky should you be with standing ovations? Let us know in the Facebook group, which you can join with the link in the episode description. Also like and subscribe, rating, review. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks for listening to 2 out of 3 Recommend. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast was produced and pay our respects to elders past and present.
If you'd like to support the podcast and become a member, gaining early access to episodes and an exclusive episode each month, sign up as a member using the link in the show notes.
If there's something you'd like to recommend to us, get in touch on the socials or in our Facebook group.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your podcast app or on YouTube. Leave us a rating and review and tell your friends.